Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is recorded in the third chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, beginning at verse 2 and continuing through verse 12. Let us rise for the reading of this text. Paul says to the Ephesians, "Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." We pray. This is your word, Heavenly Father. This is the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. You may be seated. Dear fellow redeemed, yeah, we're Gentiles. Nevertheless, we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been in a situation or have imagined a situation in which somebody would say something to you like this: "Who let you in here? Huh? What are you doing here? Do the people in charge know that you're here? I think you should leave before somebody finds out you're here." Those are the kinds of words that you might hear if you're not welcome. If you're someplace you're not supposed to be. In a sense, these words could be asked of us. What are you doing singing about the grace of God toward you? Take a look at your ancestors. I mean, what kind of people were they? Think of the callous disregard of so many of the descendants of Japheth. Yeah, we're going to go back that far. So the callous disregard they had for the grace of God. Think about the ignorance of non-Jews like you over all of those years of ancient history. Or if you want to think about it recently, think about the way Americans show neglect for the grace of God that has been shown to them. Think of how in our state, here in Illinois, there's such a willingness to hinder the gospel and tolerate all kinds of iniquity. In view of your sins and mine, how can we possibly think of ourselves as children of God and heirs of heaven? It's a mystery. You know what a mystery is? It's something you don't know unless somebody tells you. Agatha Christie lets you know in the last 8 pages who done it. That's a mystery. But we recognize that God is for us a great mystery. Looking around us, we know there is a God, but who is he? What does he think of us? On this Epiphany night, on this Christmas of the Gentiles, we reflect upon this mystery that has now been revealed. How, as Paul puts it, in Jesus Christ our Lord, and through faith in him, we, is everybody here? We may approach God with freedom and with confidence. Now, what we have here in our text is really a parenthetical expression. It's one of those really long ones that Paul is famous for. He's talking about one thing, but then he has to make sure we understand something else before he goes on. And the overall subject is how he became what he calls himself a prisoner of Christ for the sake of the Gentiles, so that the Gentiles too would spend eternity, and I love this, so that you could spend eternity experiencing how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. You're included in that. It's like it's suddenly been made known to us. He interrupts his thought to reflect upon what an epiphany this is, what a manifestation, what a revelation of this mystery, that God would include people of every race and every nation in his salvation. Now think about that. Do you know anybody who thinks that everybody else on earth is as acceptable to God as he is? Human beings are tribal. We all know that it's people like us who are acceptable to God, whoever that may be. And yet we find out that people from every race and nation are included in God's salvation. That's what we reflect upon, especially at Epiphany, this Christmas of the Gentiles. That's why the visit of the foreigners, the Magi, to Bethlehem so epitomizes the Epiphany theme. Now, that was a long text, wasn't it? And I saw some of you, I wouldn't say your eyes were glazing over, but that was a long text. But really, there are two main things that Paul is talking about here. Two main themes stand out. And using his words, first, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And the second thing, his intent, that's God's intent, was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. So is it amazing to you that God would want non-Jews in heaven with him? Is that amazing to you? Is it amazing that he would want Gentiles besides Jews in heaven with him? Is it amazing that his unmerited grace would extend to others besides those descendants of Abraham, that friend of God, that it would extend to another nation besides that to whom Jesus came? Well, it's probably not amazing to you, because we tend to think of ourselves as, of course, of all the people in the world, God would want us, right? And even besides our natural pride, we probably remember some of those passages that have been pointed out to us. You know, the promise was given to Abraham in Genesis 22, through you, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, God told Abraham. And Jesus, echoed what Isaiah wrote when he said, I say to you that many people will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But it isn't always so obvious. Salvation is from the Jews, Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria. The Gentiles had a really filthy record. In fact, Paul reminds the Ephesians of this following this section here. He says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. No reason to expect you had any merit. But then, again, salvation doesn't come to us because of our merit or our deserving. That's the point. It comes to us by grace. It comes to us through the gospel. And the gospel is the declaration, the manifestation, okay, the epiphany, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who is the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. The natural way of thinking about God, and I think you'd agree with me when you think about it, when you consider people you've talked to, the natural way of thinking about God is that he looks out over the world and he sees good people. And to those good people or those good groups of people, he's kind. And he gives them salvation. That's a pretty contagious idea, and you hear it a lot. But the fact is, the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 7, there's not a righteous man on earth who does what's right and never sins. And yet we tend to think that God is looking for the good people to be good to. I mean, how many times do you hear people say, what have I done to deserve whatever rotten thing happened to me? I'm obviously one of the good people. You know, even Christians, sometimes we talk about persecution and they say, well, yeah, this nation, we deserve the affliction of God, but the bad thing is, you know, that we get it too and we didn't deserve it. Oh, we didn't. They're the deserving and the undeserving in human beings' way of calculation. But the fact is, and it's revealed here, that God looks out over the world and what he sees is that there is not a righteous person on earth. There's no one on earth who has righteousness or holiness unless it's given to them. It's Christ. It's now manifest to us. It's Christ who lived out righteousness, who lived out holiness for us, atoned for our sins, and God continually gives and offers his righteousness and his holiness to an undeserving human race. Not the way we would have figured it, but it's the way that it is. And because he offers it to an undeserving human race, he offers it to Jews and Gentiles alike, blacks and whites alike, men and women alike. All the daughters of Eve and the sons of Adam. The grace of God is something that is unknown to the world apart from the Bible. Even the angels, this is an interesting thing Paul says here, even the angels had to learn it from the church. Now, the reign of God, he's telling us here, is carried out in this world through the church. Now, not the great human institutions with big office buildings in Chicago or St. Louis or Vatican City, or even little office buildings like in Milwaukee or Mankato. He's talking about not the human institutions with popes and patriarchs and presidents, but that the church that is the gathering of saints, holy people, who by faith have received and possess this righteousness of Christ that God gives to us. We're talking about the church of moms and dads and kids, the church of people who are bound together by a common faith in this one Savior. We're talking about people who admit their sins to each other, forgive each other, go to communion together. We're talking about the church that's found where the gospel is, because, well, the gospel creates the church. And we're talking about the church that brings the gospel wherever they live in their daily lives and vocation, because the gospel is the source of their life and faith. We're talking about the church that is known as Christ's disciples, Jesus said, just because they love one another. This is the church that is, well, as Paul says, in him, and through faith in him, may approach God with freedom and confidence. Mystery. The mystery revealed isn't what there is about you that makes you worthy of salvation. That's a mystery that doesn't exist, because there's nothing about you or me that merits salvation. No, the mystery revealed and made manifest is that God, without any merit or worthiness on our part, has sought us out, and through the gospel he has offered and given us the righteousness of Christ, and he's enlightened us with his gifts, and he's made us holy and righteous through faith in Christ's righteousness, and he keeps us in that faith so that we can come before God as righteous people, come before God freely, confident that he just loves to hear your prayers because you are special to him. You are beloved of him. And he's done this completely without our earning or deserving it. Paul was called as the apostle of the Gentiles. The Magi arrived at Jesus' home in Bethlehem. The people of Ephesus called upon Christ in faith. All of these things aren't because of what man deserves, but because of what God by grace freely gives: forgiveness, life, and salvation. As we celebrate this Christmas of the Gentiles, and as we reflect upon the fact that God's grace extends even to unworthy people like us, let's rejoice that we have a worthiness given to us, a righteousness given to us by Christ, a righteousness in which we may come before God certain of his love toward us now and forever. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.